OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, September 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Some parents want their kids' schools to ditch tablets and laptops for paper and pencils. We'll tell you why parents who want to opt their kids out of screens at school are meeting opposition. And then, from the classroom to the workplace, we'll explain what Amazon's decision to call workers back to the office 5 days a week could mean for the company and the rest of the tech sector. But first, school cell phone bans are taking effect in big districts across the country, including Los Angeles and Las Vegas. For some, the next question is, what about the other screens? But the fight to get rid of laptops and tablets in schools isn't so easy. Here to tell us more is our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Julie, for those of us who aren't in classrooms or who don't have school-age kids, how much of a role are screens playing in teaching these days?
Screens are playing a huge role. It's not uncommon for kids as young as pre-K to be given iPads and other tablets. In middle school and higher, kids are taking their Chromebooks from class to class and working on them all day and then into the night as they're doing homework.
So screens are around a lot in schools. Why are some parents pushing back against this?
A lot of parents are just feeling like it's too much, and they're wondering, is this screen-based learning better for kids? Should they go back to pencil and paper? And so parents are now pushing for a return to the way school used to be, and they're asking to opt their kids out of school tech.
What have some of the reactions from school districts been to that request?
It's a pretty big ask because so much of school is screen-based these days. You know, a lot of schools just don't have workbooks or even textbooks anymore. So how do you replace what you're offering on a screen with a pen and paper option? A lot of schools have pushed back and said, this is the way of the future. So parents are having a hard time convincing teachers and school districts to accommodate their opt-out requests.
How does going screen-free in classrooms affect teachers in particular?
Well, it creates a lot of extra work for teachers because if most of the coursework is posted and completed and submitted online, as well as the tests, creating a whole other set of materials for students who are trying to opt out of that is really a duplicate workload. And right now we're dealing with a teacher shortage.
Are there any set rules in the U.S. about opting in or opting out of screens in classrooms?
No, there's no, you know, one sort of federal law around this. Different states have different rules around what they're willing to let parents opt out of. Then school districts don't really have a legal obligation to allow parents to opt out of using technology.
And so for parents who do want to opt their kids out of using screens all the time in classrooms, what steps do they tell you they're taking in order to get there?
Some of these parents are actually offering to do some of the legwork themselves, to make photocopies of things, to find textbooks and workbooks. It does take a dedicated parent with the time and resources to step up and do that. Even so, though, there are some parents who've offered to say, I'll find the materials, I'll duplicate this on my part, and they're still being told no. Some schools argue that it creates an equity issue. If you've got a whole classroom that's doing something on a computer, if they're waiting for one student to go to the library and do some research, it may hold up the rest of the class.
All right, that was our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Coming up, it seems like hybrid work had become the norm, especially for tech. Amazon just changed that. We'll find out how other companies are reacting to Amazon's return to office policy after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
Amazon set business leaders and workers abuzz last week when its CEO Andy Jassy announced that staff would need to return to the office 5 days a week starting early next year. Until Jassy's memo, it may have seemed that companies, especially in the tech world, had accepted the reality of hybrid work. But as the labor market has cooled, the balance of power between workers and bosses has shifted, and company leaders have more leverage to demand in-office work. Here to tell us more is our Deputy Bureau Chief for Careers and Workplace, Vanessa Furmans. Vanessa, we've got this announcement from Amazon. What does the company say is the reason for this move?
In short, it really wants to reinvigorate Amazon with some of its original startup culture, which Amazon was founded in the late 90s, so that's quite a long time from now. Today, Amazon is a behemoth with over 1 million employees. Jassy, like a lot of CEOs out there, still thinks that in-office attendance is a big part of what drives innovation and collaboration.
So last year, Amazon told some workers they may have to move to what the company called main hub locations, like its headquarters in Seattle or offices in New York or San Francisco. What else did Amazon do to lay the groundwork for this return to the office announcement?
Well, they have been toughening in-office requirements for some time. Last year, they made the call that everyone needed to be back in the office at least 3 days a week. They did start tracking people to make sure that they weren't just swiping in for, a coffee badge. And it's unclear what the compliance was, but clearly Amazon or Jassy wasn't satisfied with that.
How are Amazon workers reacting to this news?
From what we can see, not well. By and large, a lot of employees, and this goes for people outside of Amazon, even if they like going into the office, they like having the choice. But a lot of workers have since recreated their lives around being able to work from home. That's childcare, that's family duties, that's commute time. Some people have moved. If you take a look at LinkedIn or any social media site, you will see a lot of angry reactions. Some employees have already declared they are looking for work elsewhere. Some have called this tantamount to a layoff announcement since they predict that a lot of employees will leave. The cynic take is that Amazon wants more people to leave, although Amazon is denying that.
Do we know what other employers are making of Amazon's announcement?
It has certainly caught a lot of attention. CEOs we've spoken to say they are buzzing about it. They're hearing from other CEOs about it. And they're also hearing from their workforces asking, are we going to follow suit? Are we going to have to do this? Amazon is seen as such a bellwether for a lot of companies, including the way they set wages, other types of workplace policies. We also have a poll out from KPMG, which regularly surveys U.S. CEOs, and the number of CEOs at this time around who said they expect in 3 years full-time office attendance was nearly 80%, and it was only 34% just in April.
Let's take a step back from Amazon for a second. Tech companies really led the way in working from home during the pandemic. What are some of the possible challenges tech companies could face as they call workers back into the office?
Yes, you're right. The tech industry actually introduced some of the most liberal remote work policies. And part of it was because so many of their tech staff worked on the coasts in high-cost cities. And the moment that they had the option to work somewhere else, many of them moved to other cities, not just to the suburbs, but to Boise, Idaho, or Salt Lake City. So it's already been a lot of upheaval for some of these tech staffers who have been called back to at least 3 days a week. But in the meantime, a lot of them say 5 days is just too much.
You know, a lot of this comes down to productivity. Are workers better off collaborating in person or having the flexibility to work remote? Do we have any data on who's right about this?
You know, the data is really all over the place. Certainly when you look at the broad data, and in terms of productivity, remote workers really don't seem to be any less productive than in-office workers. In fact, there's data that suggests that they're actually more productive and that they spend more hours at their computers when they're at home, in part because they don't have those commutes. But there is other data that show that younger workers, more junior workers, people straight out of college and so forth, who are really still getting the hang of corporate work life and their jobs and all of that really struggle with being purely remote or remote mostly or simply not in the same city as their manager.
That's Vanessa Furmans, Deputy Chief of our Careers and Workplace Bureau. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop and deputy editor Chris Sinsley. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.